Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you for listening to the Qalam podcast. My name is Abdul Nasser Jangda, and I'm excited to announce a new learning opportunity from the comfort of your home. Here at Qalam, we strive to create opportunities for people all around the world from all walks of life to learn about Islam. One amazing program that is a part of this mission is the Seerah Intensive, an in-depth study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seerah Intensive is a one-of-a-kind immersive learning experience for the entire family. You receive access to great teachers, develop lifelong friendships with students of knowledge from all around the world, benefit from countless invaluable lessons, and at the end of the day, walk away with a newfound love for the best human being to ever walk this earth, bidnillahi ta'ala. This year, the Seerah Intensive will be offered exclusively online. All recordings and class materials will be provided for lifetime access for you to continue and revisit at your own pace. We will also be offering Seerah Intensive online for kids. For more information, please visit QalamIntensives.com. We hope to see you this winter to learn about the life
next up, inshallah,
of the Prophet
we have sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
with us.
Next up, inshallah, we have Ustada Atifa Sharif. She is a graduate of the entire Qalam Alamiya program, 5 years of study. She also serves as an instructor at the Qalam Seminary, and she's also, while she was completing her 5 year studies at Qadam, she also completed a master's in psychology and counseling, and she also serves in that capacity supporting students at the Qadam Seminary. She'll be speaking today on the excellent character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everyone is doing well and finding the session to be extremely beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only allow us to benefit more from this session, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azeem. He describes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as, indeed, you are of a great moral character. This is ayah number 4 in Surah Al-Qalam, Surah number 68. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing is telling us that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as having great moral character. Imagine that, having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to vouch for the character of this man, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we obviously know that the Prophet ﷺ is the ultimate example for us, that we're supposed to learn from him and benefit from him from every aspect of his life, not just rules and regulations, but how to live, how to be, and particularly his moral character is something that we can definitely learn from. The Prophet ﷺ describes kind of the secret to his moral character, how he is considered this best person, this amazing person. It was narrated by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you, the best of type of human being, the best type of person is the one who is best to his family, and I am the best to my family. Okay, and so the word ahl is very interesting. It's often translated as family, but for the Prophet and even in language, that word ahl specifically, the primary people that are defined by the word ahl is one's spouse. Okay, and so the Prophet is primarily speaking about his wives, how he displayed the best character towards them. Okay, so the people that are most deserving of being treated the best towards is our family, specifically our spouses, the people that are in the household that are with us. They have the primary right to judge our character. It's often that people go out in the world and can be considered, you know, they have a reputation, they can be considered great people. But when they're inside their homes, that may not necessarily be the case. But the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, and the fact that we know so much about his amazing character from his wives, is a testament to the fact that he was so amazing, that he was literally really the pinnacle of what it could be an amazing human being. And so there's a lot that we can learn specific about his character and specifically from his wives. So what's really interesting about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it's not just that just Islam came to make his character perfect. It came to refine human beings in general, and it came to only bring beauty to our lives. Okay, so it didn't necessarily come to change the inner essence of a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all amazing qualities. Islam came to just refine it. Okay, and so even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had amazing, amazing qualities. He was known even prior to prophethood. He was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful person in the community, in the society, as well as the most trustworthy. And it was actually, in fact, these two qualities that attracted him so much to his first wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. They were business partners at first, and the fact that he had these qualities, a businessman having the qualities of being truthful and trustworthy, that was very rare and unique. And of course, he displayed that in his business as well. And so that was something that drew her towards him. When revelation actually came, when the Prophet ﷺ received prophethood, when he was on the mountain in the cave of Hira, and he received revelation from Angel Jibril, telling him to recite, read Iqra in the name of your Lord. And that whole incident was so terrifying to him. And he runs down the mountain, and the first person that he goes to seek that comfort and care is his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And when he tells her of what happened, and he says, you know, this terrifying event happened to me, and I'm afraid that something terrible is going to be happening to me. The first thing that Khadija radiallahu anha says in response is, no, that's impossible. Allah will never, ever, ever disgrace you. Why? Because of the first thing she mentioned is, you keep good relations with your family. You help the poor and the needy. You lift up the downtrodden. You serve your guests generously. And you're always the first to help with any sort of good cause. So the first thing that she mentions, being his primary family, she says that you are good to your family. That's the first thing that he's known for. And then all these other amazing qualities that he was amazing in his household, and that amazingness only bled out into the everyone else that he interacted with. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was kind, he was generous, he kept good family relations, he made sure that his family, you know, had a good opinion of him at all times. But just because, you know, he had these qualities of being always kind and generous, oftentimes people think that people who are very like good in that sense, don't really have much of personality. Maybe not have a good sense of humor or anything like that. But that was not the case for the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he remember, he is the perfect example. So he is the epitome of all good things. And even in his family relations, it wasn't always serious. He had a good sense of humor. He was very playful and considerate as well. And we learn about even that aspect of the Prophet ﷺ when we learn about things that that his wife Aisha radiallahu anhu, things that she shared about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there were occasions that he would take, whenever he would travel, he would take his wife or one of his wives along with him on the journey. And so there was an incident where he took his wife Aisha radiallahu anha on a journey, and they stopped, and they basically got out, and he said, "Let's race." So they race. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that the first time she won, and a little while later, meaning like maybe years later, and she says in the narration that she gained a little bit of weight, so kind of giving her a reason as to what happens next. But in the second race that happened years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam won. And he actually notes at that time, this one for that one. You won last time, I won this time. So he definitely had a good sense of humor and was very, very playful, and even during, you know, in the appropriate manner and time. He was also very considerate to his wives. Aisha radiallahu anha, there's a story on one Eid, she wanted to watch, there was basically a demonstration going on of Abyssinian fighters kind of taking place on the day of Eid inside of the masjid. And so she's standing there and watching, and the way that she was watching was that the Prophet ﷺ was in front of her, and she was kind of resting her head on the shoulder of the Prophet ﷺ, and their cheeks were touching. It was a very loving, considerate, caring moment, and she was just enjoying being there. It said that honestly, she didn't really care about what was happening, the fight. She just enjoyed, you know, spending that time with the Prophet ﷺ in that way. it wasn't all just, you know, fun and games either for the Prophet. He lived a very balanced lifestyle of care, consideration, generosity, taking care, you know, having some fun at the same time. But he also held a tremendous respect for his wives as well, cared about them in that term of respect and chivalry and made sure that their opinion was taken into consideration. Another occasion happened when the Prophet ﷺ, he actually took one of his wives, Salama radiallahu anha, he took her on the journey to when they were actually attempting to make Umrah. That Umrah didn't end up happening, and it led to what was known in the Seerah as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So instead of being able to perform the actual Umrah journey, perform the pilgrimage itself, they were stopped, the Muslims were stopped, and they were not able to continue, and this treaty took place. Okay, so once that treaty took place, because they were stopped, it's part of the rules and regulation that if you're not able to continue on the Umrah journey, that if you're stopped where you are stopped, in order to get out of ihram, certain rituals need to be performed. So the treaty took place. The Muslims were very excited originally to head for Umrah. And when they realized that they were not able to perform that Umrah, it kind of really shook them, right? They were really distraught. They were emotionally torn up about the whole situation. But the Prophet ﷺ, he's telling them, you know, we have to take certain steps to make sure we properly get out of Ihram. And he's advising the Sahaba, the companions, to perform those rituals, but no one was really doing anything. And the Prophet ﷺ, it's not that the Sahaba were necessarily like trying to be disobedient. It was just a very emotionally heavy situation, very, very difficult for them. So the Prophet ﷺ, he turns to Salama radiallahu anha and mentions to her, you know, I don't know what to do. The Sahaba, they usually listen to me right when I tell them, but in this situation, they are not. So what do I do? So Salama radiallahu anha, she said, you know, they're in a very difficult position. This was it's a tragedy on their mind that they aren't able to perform the Umrah. So instead of continuously telling them, what I advise you, why don't you actually start doing it yourself? And they will see you doing it. They will see you performing those rituals, and then they will follow accordingly. It will help them snap out of it so that they can follow accordingly. And so he ended up respecting the advice of Salama radiallahu anha, taking it, following it, and that's exactly what happened. The Sahaba followed suit. So they were definitely, he definitely respected what she had to say, respected what his wives had to say. In terms of being a good human being towards, again, caring about his wives, another occasion, another situation happened, or a few other situations happened with Safiya radiallahu anha. One time, again, he was traveling with his wife, Safiya radiallahu anha, and there was maybe like a muddy patch on the ground, and he basically got down one knee to allow her to step on his blessed knee and climb up into their transport. So that chivalrous nature was something that the Prophet ﷺ had, and it's definitely something that we can emulate and learn from. And another story that was related to Safiya radiallahu anha, she actually came from Jewish heritage. Okay, so she was from a Jewish background, Jewish family. And so the wives of the Prophet ﷺ didn't necessarily always get along. And so one occasion happened where Hafsa radiallahu anha, they were having a back and forth, and she actually commented to Safiya radiallahu anha, saying, basically calling her son of a Jewish woman, okay, son of a Jewish woman. And so Safiya radiallahu anha, later the Prophet ﷺ found Safiya radiallahu anha crying, and he asked her what happened. And so she told him, this is the situation, so Hafsa told me this, and the Prophet ﷺ responded back and said, who can say anything to you when your father is a prophet, referring to Harun alayhi salam, and your uncle is a prophet, referring to Musa alayhi salam, and your husband is a prophet, referring to himself as well. Okay, so saying, what do you have to cry about, and what does anybody else have to say to you when you people are making fun of your lineage? Look at what noble lineage you come from, making her feel better. So he really cared about his family, made them feel better, emotional concern, financial concern, of course, just general comfort and stability, and maintaining being a good, loving household. This is what the Prophet ﷺ provided for his family. And this is a sneak peek into the character of the Prophet ﷺ. So it's very easy for a person to who is in charge of a household or in charge of anything to, and especially someone who is given the title as being the last and final messenger of God, to take advantage of that authority and exert authority upon the people that they are in charge of. But as we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he was the pinnacle of amazing character, right? And so he's the he fully, completely embodied and recognized that with this great power and authority comes great responsibility, and that his primary responsibility is to make sure that he's taking care of his family and treating them in the best way, because that's ultimately what is going to allow him to take care of the world. He was loving, kind, considerate, playful, and extremely respectful, chivalrous, and these are all qualities that, inshallah, that we can learn from, because we recognize that he, as this person, he was able to, with these qualities that he had, reform all of humanity. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have the same character, to emulate the beautiful character of the Prophet ﷺ, primarily in terms of treating our family in the best way, and to benefit from the example of the Prophet ﷺ, and gain the benefit that provide, be able to provide the benefit in the way that the Prophet ﷺ did. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Fikum Ustada Atifa is a graduate of the entire Qalam Alamiya program, 5 years of study. She also serves as an instructor at the Qalam Seminary, and she's also, while she was completing her 5-year studies at Qadam, she also completed a master's in psychology and counseling, and she also serves in that capacity supporting students at the Qadam Seminary. She'll be speaking today on the excellent character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everyone is doing well and finding this session to be extremely beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only allow us to benefit more from this session, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He describes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as, indeed, you are of a great moral character. This is ayah number 4 in Surah Al-Qalam, Surah number 68. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing is telling us that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is having great moral character. Imagine that, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to vouch for the character of this man, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we obviously know that the Prophet ﷺ is the ultimate example for us, that we're supposed to learn from him and benefit from him from every aspect of his life, not just rules and regulations, but how to live, how to be, and particularly his moral character is something that we can definitely learn from. The Prophet ﷺ describes kind of the secret to his moral character, how he is considered this best person, this amazing person. It was narrated by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you, the best of type of human being, the best of person, the best type of person is the one who is best to his family, and I am the best to my family. Okay? And so the word ahl is very interesting. It's often translated as family, but for the Prophet and even in language, that word ahl specifically, the primary people that are defined by the word ahl is one spouse. Okay? And so the Prophet is primarily speaking about his wives, how he displayed the best character towards them. Okay, so the people that are most deserving of being treated the best towards is our family, specifically our spouses, the people that are in the household that are with us. They have the primary right to judge our character. It's often that people go out inside, you know, out in the world and can be considered, you know, they have a reputation, they can be considered great people. But when they're inside their homes, that may not necessarily be the case. But the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, and the fact that we know so much about his amazing character from his wives, is a testament to the fact that he was so amazing, that he was literally really the pinnacle of what it could be, an amazing human being. And so there's a lot that we can learn specific about his character and specifically from his wives. So what's really interesting about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it's not just that just Islam came to make his character perfect. It came to refine human beings in general, and it came to only bring beauty to our lives. Okay, so it didn't necessarily come to change the inner essence of a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all amazing qualities. Islam came to just refine it. Okay, and so even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had amazing qualities. He was known even prior to prophethood. He was known as a Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful person in the community, in the society, as well as the most trustworthy. And it was actually, in fact, these two qualities that attracted him so much to his first wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. They were business partners at first, and the fact that he had these qualities, a businessman having the qualities of being truthful and trustworthy, that was very rare and unique. And of course, he displayed that in his business as well. And so that was something that drew her towards him. When revelation actually came, when the Prophet ﷺ received prophethood, when he was on the mountain in the cave of Hira, and he received revelation from Angel Jibril, telling him to recite, read, Iqra in the name of your Lord. And that whole incident was so terrifying to him. And he runs down the mountain. And the first person that he goes to seek that comfort and care is his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. And when he tells her of what happened and he says, you know, this terrifying event happened to me and I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid that something terrible is going to be happening to me. The first thing that Khadija radiallahu anha says in response is, no, that's impossible. Allah will never, ever, ever disgrace you. Why? Because the first thing she mentioned is you keep good relations with your family. You help the poor and the needy. You lift up the downtrodden. You serve your guests generously. And you're always the first to help with any sort of good cause. So the first thing that she mentions, being his primary family, she says that you are good to your family. That's the first thing that he's known for. And then all these other amazing qualities that he was amazing in his household, and that amazingness only bled out into the everyone else that he interacted with. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was kind, he was generous, he kept good family relations, he made sure that his family, you know, had a good opinion of him at all times. But just because, you know, he had these qualities of being always kind and generous, oftentimes people think that people who are very, you know, like good in that sense, don't really have much of personality. Maybe not have a lot of you know, a good sense of humor or anything like that. But that was not the case for the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, you remember, he is the perfect example. So he is the epitome of all good things. And even in his family relations, it wasn't always serious. He had a good sense of humor. He was very playful and considerate as well. And we learn about even that aspect of the Prophet ﷺ when we learn about things that that his wife Aisha radiallahu anhu, things that she shared about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there were occasions that he would take, whenever he would travel, he would take his wife or one of his wives along with him on the journey. And so there was an incident where he took his wife Aisha radiallahu anha on a journey, and they stopped, and they basically got out, and he said, "Let's race." So they raced. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that the first time she won, and a little while later, meaning like maybe years later, and she says in the narration that she gained a little bit of weight, so kind of giving her a reason as to what happens next. But in the second race that happened years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam won. And he actually notes at that time, this one for that one. You won last time, I won this time. So he definitely had a good sense of humor and was very, very playful, and even during, you know, in the appropriate manner and time. He was also very considerate to his wives. Aisha radiallahu anha, there's a story on one Eid, she wanted to watch, basically a demonstration going on of Abyssinian fighters kind of taking place on the day of Eid inside of the masjid. And so she's standing there and watching, and the way that she was watching was that the Prophet ﷺ was in front of her, and she was kind of resting her head on the shoulder of the Prophet ﷺ, and their cheeks were touching. It was a very loving, considerate, caring moment, and she was just enjoying being there. It said that honestly, she didn't really care about what was happening, the fight. She just enjoyed, you know, spending that time with the Prophet ﷺ in that way. it wasn't all just, you know, fun and games either for the Prophet. He lived a very balanced lifestyle of care, consideration, generosity, taking care, you know, having some fun at the same time. But he also held a tremendous respect for his wives as well, cared about them in that term of respect and chivalry and made sure that their opinion was taken into consideration. Another occasion happened when the Prophet ﷺ, he actually took one of his wives, Salama radiallahu anha, he took her on the journey to when they were actually attempting to make Umrah. That Umrah didn't end up happening, and it led to what was known in the Seerah as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So instead of being able to perform the actual Umrah journey, perform the pilgrimage itself, they were stopped, the Muslims were stopped, and they were not able to continue, and this treaty took place. Okay, so once that treaty took place, because they were stopped, it's part of the rules and regulation that if you're not able to continue on the Umrah journey, that if you're stopped where you are stopped, in order to get out of ihram, certain rituals need to be performed. So the treaty took place. The Muslims were very excited originally to head for Umrah. And when they realized that they were not able to perform that Umrah, it kind of really shook them, right? They were really distraught. They were emotionally torn up about the whole situation. But the Prophet ﷺ, he's telling them, you know, we have to take certain steps to make sure we properly get out of Ihram. And he's advising the Sahaba, the companions, to perform those rituals, but no one was really doing anything. And the Prophet ﷺ, it's not that the Sahaba were necessarily like trying to be disobedient. It was just a very emotionally heavy situation, very, very difficult for them. So the Prophet ﷺ, he turns to Salama radiallahu anha and mentions to her, you know, I don't know what to do. The Sahaba, you know, they usually listen to me right when I tell them, but in this situation, they are not. So what do I do? So Salama radiallahu anha, she said, you know, they're in a very difficult position. This was a very, it's a tragedy on their in their mind that they aren't able to perform the Umrah. So instead of continuously telling them, what I advise you, why don't you actually start doing it yourself? And they will see you doing it. They will see you performing those rituals, and then they will follow accordingly. It will help them snap out of it so that they can follow accordingly. And so he ended up respecting the advice of Salama radiallahu anha, taking it, following it, and that's exactly what happened. The Sahaba followed suit. So they were definitely, he definitely respected what she had to say, respected what the his wives had to say. In terms of being a good human being towards, again, caring about his wives, another occasion, another situation happened, or a few other situations happened with Safiya radiallahu anha. One time, again, he was traveling with his wife, Safiya radiallahu anha, and there was maybe like a muddy patch on the ground, and he basically got down one knee to allow her to step on his blessed knee and climb up into their transport. So that chivalrous nature was something that the Prophet ﷺ had, and it's definitely something that we can emulate and learn from. And another story that was related to Safiya radiallahu anha, she actually came from Jewish heritage. Okay, so she was from a Jewish background, Jewish family. And so the wives of the Prophet ﷺ didn't necessarily always get along. And so one occasion happened where Hafsa radiallahu anha, they were having a back and forth, and she actually commented to Safiya radiallahu anha, saying, basically calling her son of a Jewish woman, okay, son of a Jewish woman. And so Safiya radiallahu anha, later the Prophet ﷺ found Safiya radiallahu anha crying, and he asked her what happened. And so she told him, this is the situation, so Hafsa told me this, and the Prophet ﷺ responded back and said, who can say anything to you when your father is a prophet, referring to Harun alayhi salam, and your uncle is a prophet, referring to Musa alayhi salam, and your husband is a prophet, referring to himself as well. Okay, so saying, what do you have to cry about, and what does anybody else have to say to you when you people are making fun of your lineage? Look at what noble lineage you come from, making her feel better. So he really cared about his family, made them feel better, emotional concern, financial concern, of course, you know, just general comfort and stability, and you know, maintaining being a good, loving household. This is what the Prophet ﷺ provided for his family. And this is a sneak peek into the character of the Prophet ﷺ. So it's very easy for a person to who is in charge of a household or in charge of anything to, and especially someone who is given the title as being the last and final messenger of God, to take advantage of that authority and exert authority upon the people that they are in charge of. But as we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he was the pinnacle of amazing character, right? And so he's the he fully, completely embodied and recognized that with this great power and authority comes great responsibility, and that his primary responsibility is to make sure that he's taking care of his family and treating them in the best way, because that's ultimately what is going to allow him to take care of the world. He was loving, kind, considerate, playful, and extremely respectful, chivalrous, and these are all qualities that, inshallah, that we can learn from, because we recognize that he, as this person, he was able to, with these qualities that he had, reform all of humanity. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have the same character, to emulate the beautiful character of the Prophet ﷺ, primarily in terms of treating our family in the best way, and to benefit from the example of the Prophet ﷺ, and gain the benefit that be able to provide the benefit in the way that the Prophet ﷺ did. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.